back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield & Company.
Golden Nugget is the site. We are every Friday right here in the corridor towards the back of the property. We'll get some details on the new restaurants that are going to be going up in the middle of the property. I know the Grotto's moving to the back. You got a new Chick-fil-A here. Tony Miller's up in about 15 minutes. We also have Mike Goldberg, who's going to be joining us. Former UFC announcer, current Bellator announcer, San Jose Sharks. I'll say guy. I think he's a fan, but he's tight with a lot of the San Jose Sharks. So we're going to talk to Goldie in just a few. We will break down the UFC card. What do you cover tomorrow?
Me?
Yeah.
UFC?
Okay. I didn't know if you were doing UNLV during the day and then UFC.
No, because UNLV's, I think, at 3, and the first fight will be at 4. I just don't think I can make it over in time. I could try to get the first half in, but I don't think it'll happen.
All right, let's talk a little fighting, a little hockey. Mike Goldberg, nice enough to join us on this Friday. What's up, Goldie?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
A lot. We're going to get into fighting here in a second, but I really wanted to talk to you for your knowledge of the Sharks and your knowledge of Pete DeBoer. I'll ask you before we even get to DeBoer, were you surprised that Gerard Gallant, with all the success and the miraculous first season, was fired?
Yes and no. And I say that because my initial response was probably the same as everybody else in the world, and probably the same as you guys, Steve and Adam, is like, what's going on? I mean, look at all the success this franchise has had. But then you saw some cracks in the wall, and then you wondered if maybe that style of coaching and that intensity and the voice was starting to fall upon deaf ears. And so at first I was, like the hockey world, I was absolutely 100% in shock. After that, and listening to a lot of people analyze it, thinking about it myself, it does make a little bit of sense to me, just as they look towards the future. And once again, it's George McPhee and his team being very proactive. And they've been that way in signing players with trades and free agency. And they are, in their mind, they hope ahead of the curve as far as the head coach is concerned.
So we've been dealing with talking to a lot of fans who are kind of new to the pro sports world, and they feel like Gerard Gallant is their best friend and Pete DeBoer is their worst enemy in the world, and now all of a sudden he's their coach. What is it like from the San Jose side, though, to see, yesterday Pete DeBoer wearing those, that Golden Knights jumpsuit?
Weird.
What was that like?
You're not allowed to use profanity, correct?
Correct.
Terrestrial. Sorry.
All right. Then that should answer the question.
Oh, it was, wow.
I want to be the co-main event, the Connor and Donald. I want to be the co-main event, without a doubt. Man, it was weird to look at. The timing was incredible. And Pete DeBoer has been to the Stanley Cup twice with two different teams. Now there is somebody in the Vegas organization who does agree that the five-minute major against Cody Eakins was a good call.
Yes,
so there's finally somebody in the Golden Knights world who does agree with that call. Pretty darn shocked. A little bit aggravated. And if you want to go really, really old school, it's Bo Schembechler taking the job at Michigan, and Woody Hayes calling it that school up north for the rest of his life. So it's got a little bit of that in it as well. You see coaches, and they need to get another job, guys. They need to have work. They need to stay within the fraternity. But, man, to go from Ohio State to Michigan, to go from San Jose to Vegas, as a Sharks fan, it aggravates me, to say the least.
Mike Goldberg, former voice of the UFC, he's working with Bellator now. He's a Sharks guy, a former hockey announcer as well. So tell the fans here, what are they getting in terms of a coach in Pete DeBoer and also a personality? What kind of personality is he?
Well, as a coach, he's the exact opposite of Gerard Gallant as far as personality is. Pete is much more laid back. He's very soft-spoken. He will be the same as far as putting the systems in place. But the way that he is when he comes to the rink every single day, is the exact opposite of what you guys have seen since day one from Gerard Gallant. Now, that doesn't mean that one way is good and one way is not good or one's better than the other. It's just different. And now we go back to that first question, Stephen Adam, is am I surprised that when I look at the change from a big picture, you went totally opposite. You went absolute opposite as far as it is concerned. You have a guy who knows the Vegas team as well as anybody in the league other than those who play for Vegas and coach Vegas and run the Golden Knights. But you will find him soft-spoken. You will find him a very smart and diligent hockey man, very focused on the players. I don't know what the atmosphere was with Gerard, but the room will be very sacred. It will be closed a lot. There'll be an insulation around the team and the coaching staff, which I think is good. And not that that was different than what Gerard was doing, but that's what you'll get from Pete DeBoer. You'll get a very intelligent man, soft-spoken, who's been around the game a very long time. And once again, he's taken two different teams to the Stanley Cup Finals, and very few guys can say that.
I know they don't play again this year. So game one next year of Vegas at San Jose, what is the crowd like?
Dude, you already got us out of the playoffs, don't you?
Well.
Man. I kind of do, too. Yes, I'm just kidding. Yes. You know what? I think if it ends up, honestly, even on, I think if it ends up being game one next year, it'll still have an effect. There'll still be some nostalgia. It'll still be weird. But yesterday was way more awkward than what we'll see if it's a year from now, because we'll know if Bob Bugner is, you know, no longer the interim head coach of the Sharks. People have been gone for a long time. It'll be different. If for some crazy reason, if the hockey gods all of a sudden put themselves in teal and the Sharks pull a St. Louis Blues and make it to the playoffs, now we're talking a very interesting sidebar story if Pete DeBoer and the Golden Knights meet Bob Bugner and the San Jose Sharks in the postseason once again. That, to me, would have a much greater effect than what we'll see, I mean, basically 9 or 10 months from now.
Yesterday was
weird as can be. It's like I think the tag was still on the freaking hat. I swear to God, I think the tag was probably on the hat.
It looked weird. It almost kind of looked overdone.
It looked weird, didn't it?
Yeah, it was like every article of clothing you could ever, you know, get a hold of was going to be VGK. I got to ask you a little MMA stuff. First of all, Bellator card's on the way. You guys have Cyborg now, right? 25th? She's going to be fighting at the Forum?
Yep, at the fabulous Forum in Inglewood, California, where Michael Bisping knocked out Luke Rockhold to win the championship. It's going to be incredible. To me, Chris Cyborg is the most feared female fighter in the history of mixed martial arts. She is the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. Now, that doesn't mean that Amanda Nunes doesn't have an edge on her today, but when you look at the entire history of the sport, especially from that side of it, you have to look at the success of Cyborg and then the early success of obviously Ronda Rousey. But as far as true fear and true violence and true aggression, there is nobody who over the years has been like Cyborg. Now, there are other female fighters, but they all seemed that way and they all had that pathway paved, if you will, by Chris Cyborg. So I could not be more excited that she's with Bellator, reunited with Scott Coker. Of course, the Strikeforce days, and I mean, go back to the very beginning in the fight with Gina Carano. Against Julia Budd, she will meet somebody physically who is a true 145, which is something that, you know, Chris always kind of tried to tackle with in the UFC and with Dana. Is it 135? Is it 140? Are we going to do a 145? Well, you know what? Bellator has a 145. And it's been a long time since Julia Budd has lost a fight. And Julia Budd is absolutely thrilled and honored to be facing Cyborg. And I think it's going to be one heck of a fight. This is not Cyborg walking in, grab your belt in your fourth major promotion and see what's next. This is an absolute challenge for her and Julia Budd. Julia Budd believes she can beat her. And I cannot wait for that main event of the evening. And just a sidebar, Chris Cyborg will fight all three of us at the same time, and you can give all three of us baseball bats. And she will fight us all at the same time. So please don't ever anybody out there believe for one moment that Chris Cyborg was afraid, quote unquote, scared, quote unquote, to fight Amanda Nunes again. I love Amanda. Happened to be my last UFC was Amanda beating Ronda at UFC 207. But Chris Cyborg is not afraid of pretty much everything.
So, Mike, I got to get your opinion on Conor McGregor. He's going to be fighting this weekend. He's here in Vegas. Is this the beginning of a career resurgence where we see the guy fight, you know, six more times and make tons of money, or has he made too much money and now we start to see the downfall and he's just not motivated and dedicated to the sport anymore?
This is Conor trying to leave the last couple of paragraphs of his book as an extremely positive turnaround and something that his children can be very, very proud of. I will tell you, when I was in Ireland a couple of months ago for Bellator, I saw Conor, and Conor and I have always had a great relationship, even Adam, and I gave him a hug and said hi, and I swear I gave him the man hug, and I was like, boom, it was like running into a wall. Yeah. It was like Apollo in Drago. It was crazy. And I'm like, something's up, and he just kind of smirked at me. This time, he's built his body up to fight at 170. He's going to give away length to Donald, obviously, but I believe this is Conor trying to do it right, not so much inside the octagon, but everything surrounding his career. He might do it right for two. He might do it right for four fights. Whatever he feels he needs to do, this is him wanting to leave a lasting memory. Just like we talked about, guys, at the end of a round, this is the end of his final round of fights, if you will. And he wants to leave a great impression on everybody in the world. And I will tell you, I walked around Ireland and I had some fun and I had a few pints and a couple of Jamesons. And John Kavanaugh said, how come you're not drinking Proper 12? And I said, would you drink Proper 12 if you didn't know Conor and you were in Dublin? John said, that's a good point. But he did. He goes, you know what, Goldie, you got me on that one. You know, that's a really good point. Conor's doing it for all the right reasons, and Conor wants to do it right, and he wants to finish in a way that he could be proud of. But my point is, when I was in Ireland, half that country very upset with him. And I kid you not, that passion in which they have for sports and their stars is undeniable. And with that passion comes disappointment. And half that country is very disappointed in how Conor has handled everything the last few years. And I think Conor feels that. And I think Conor knows he needs to do it right so that he can spend the rest of his life with a smile. I want to say, again, that he has set an example for his children and others along the way that are going to say, he was a little crazy, he had his crazy years, but in the end, man, that guy was personal.
This is a weird one to close on, but I got to get your opinion on this, Mike. We saw CM Punk fight in the UFC. Do you think Bellator should get into the, we'll say, celeb fighting arena in special cases? Like, wouldn't it be cool for Bellator to put on the Antonio Brown, Logan Paul fight, whatever rules it's under? I think that would be great.
You know, well, we obviously have Jake Hager. Jake is a much more experienced,
yes,
I'll say, wrestler. Jake is a high-level wrestler. I mean, wrestled at the University of Oklahoma. So a different skill set than, obviously, CM Punk brought in. Yes and no. I mean, here's the deal. Bellator is number two right now, and I want to say, you know, with a little bit of bias, you know, gaining every day. At least I hope so. We're trying to do our best. There's no different arena because it's Bellator for these crazy fights than there would be in the UFC.
Right.
But Scott Coker has shown over the years that he likes to have a little fun with them. He likes to extend a Rampage in a Vanderlei, or you get to see a Fedor again. maybe some stars of yesteryear that are nostalgic that they're still around, guys. But, you know, do they have to get into the true craziness? No, they don't. I mean, we're legit. We're as legit as the UFC. You're talking about the two biggest major promotions in mixed martial arts. Would it be fun? Would Scott Coker do it? Yeah, in the right situation, he would. Does Bellator need to do it, or does Bellator, you know, seek those type of matchups so that they can get bigger ratings and attention? Absolutely not.
Mike, we appreciate all the feedback. Thanks for coming out with us. Have a great weekend.
Enjoy the fights, and I cannot wait. I will be sitting right by my TV with a cold one. You know what? I should probably have a Budweiser and a proper 12. Then I'll have Donald, and I'll have Connor represented, and you guys enjoy the fights as well.
See you, Goldie. Bye-bye. There you go. Mike Goldberg was a play-by-play guy doing hockey years ago, voice of the UFC for the longest time, doing Bellator now, tight with the Sharks, filling us in on Pete DeBoer. Am I crazy on that? If someone's going to make a lot of money on Antonio Brown and Logan Paul if they put on that fight, why shouldn't Bellator do it? I don't know. I always feel like the big MMA brands are like, well, we're going to be embarrassed by it. It's stooping too low. Like, just sell it for what it is. It is a freak show. These aren't professionals.
I think Bellator is fine with it.
Here's a great platform. Yeah, I think they would do it.
But I think Antonio Brown is boxing.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah. It changes it. I mean, DAZN offered him $1 million, right? So I think he's just going to do it.
Wow. That'll be wacky, and he could get just freaking slaughtered.
I'd like him to see him fight the bagel guy.
Mismatch in size.
It's fine. Maybe he's not that big.
It's like he's bigger than the bagel boss.
It's fine. I just want to see him fight.
He's not 4'11", 120.
I like to see it go down.
We're down here at the Golden Nugget. Happy hour's underway at the Cadillac Mexican Kitchen. Beers as low as $4. You got the famous margaritas, because I say they're famous. That's why. They're $5. Chips and dips, the quesadillas, really all the food items during happy hour, at least on the happy hour menu, all below $8. So come on down. Street tacos as well, spicy beef, chicken fajita, tejas, carnitas as well. So come and take advantage of the specials on the street tacos. Tony Miller, the boss of the sportsbook, is up with us in less than 5, and we'll find out what's going on inside the book when it comes to that Conor McGregor fight.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
No one has allegedly murdered two people and then played an entire season as a professional athlete.
I'm Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, Connecticut. I play at Bristol Central High School.
Aaron Hernandez was a different level of athlete.
He was kind.
He wasn't someone who picked on other kids.
He's one of the best players in America. Get him the ball.
Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
Our buddy Tony Miller is back in the fold with us here on a Friday. Golden Nugget, the Aaron Hernandez documentary. Did you finish it?
I did. 3 hours.
Don't spoil it. Adam hasn't started. I watched 1 hour last night. Awesome?
Fantastic. I mean, it was just unbelievably good. So good.
It's amazing when I watch documentaries that are covering events that happened in my lifetime, and oftentimes I'm like, wait, did that info not come out when the story was going on, or was I not paying attention?
Right.
Because I started with the episode one, I'm like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here I missed. It's freaking 6 years ago. But it really is a crazy story, and especially for casual sports fans. And I would recommend people listening now who are sports fans, folks that, you know, whoever, your wife, your husband, your boyfriend, girlfriend, if they're not sports fans, they should still watch it.
For sure.
Because it's very informational. It's very much made for the non-sports fan. It's a crazy, crazy story.
I'm excited.
Yes. So, we were just talking about Conor McGregor and the fight being in town. All right, it's been a while since he's fought.
Right.
What are we looking at? Do you feel the excitement? Are you getting a handle here?
Yeah, look, got a lot of Irish people in today. But I'm taking money on Cerrone. I just dropped Conor down to $3.
Hello.
Yeah, so, the dog money's coming in. You know, maybe gets a lucky shot in. Who knows? But the feeling I get is that everyone's talking like this is just a tune-up for Conor, and he wants to get through Cerrone and move on to bigger things. But the way they're betting is they're hoping Cerrone knocks him.
Adam, is it more than a tune-up?
I mean, it's booked as a tune-up. Like, this fight was booked as a tune-up fight. There's no question about it. That was the point. That's why this fight was made. Doesn't mean Cerrone can't ruin all of that and win the fight.
Well, he can, and it can not be a tune-up fight if he fights the right way. But I don't think he's going to do it.
No, neither do I.
And the right way is grapple and take him down.
Yeah. Cerrone has 17 career submissions. McGregor's submission defense isn't great. Cerrone's not a great wrestler, but he's a decent offensive wrestler, could get it to the ground. He would be very well – if this was a football game or a basketball game, he has a path to victory of, you know, say it's in a basketball terms, slowing it down.
Mm-hmm.
But the fans are like, run, run, run. And he's like, all right, we're going to run.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Princeton getting the NCAA tournament.
Don't run.
And the fans are like, we want to see you run. With like, okay, we're going to run. Let's go. Let's go up and down the floor. Why? Like, it's a sporting event. Go win. Now, Cerrone says it's not a sporting event. It's entertainment. Fans want to see me stand up and throw punches. That's what I'm going to do.
So dumb.
And so it's ridiculous. It also doesn't mean that he has to do that. He can go in the cage, go against everything he said, and take him down and beat him on the ground. Sure. But yeah, it's a very weird, blurry line between is it sport or entertainment, and it's sport because, you know, you go in there and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. It's sport in that regard, and it's not scripted, but there is that, you know, are you trying to entertain people? Is that what you're there for? And Cerrone says that's what he's there for, and that's what he's going to do, and, you know, we'll see him go out there and try to throw punch. And he can win a stand-up fight. It's just not his best path to victory.
Tony, you have props up, over-under, finish. You know, by whatever, TKO, KO, sub, all that stuff. You have round props, too?
We got a round prop up in just a fight right now. We don't put anything else up with those. Round prop, I believe, is 2.5. But, you know, hey, what happens with Connor if he does lose? What happens to him next?
Funny, I mean, I talked about it today. Every, like, mainstream interview I've done this week, that's been the main question they were asking, what happens? And I think crazy Connor, chaotic Connor, out of control Connor is still marketable, even if he loses. The Connor we've seen this week, the I'm a dad now, I'm mature, I'm just here to fight, that Connor, I don't know where the market is on the highest levels for that guy. Like, I don't know why, you know, even though people have always said, like, why is he acting all crazy? Why is he doing this? He's got money. Why is he throwing dollies through buses? Why is he fighting people on the street? Why is he doing all these crazy things? He's doing it because that's what got him famous. That's what made people love him. And so if you're this guy, this subdued, relaxed guy, do people still clamor to the box office to watch you fight if you're that guy? If he just talked yesterday about fighting at Allegiant Stadium against Manny Pacquiao in August to open that stadium, if he loses, is that still something people care about? Probably not.
Tony, stick around. We got some bills to pay. We come back, we're going to get into what's going on down here at the Nugget for the NFC Championship game, because I think Tony's in a unique position when it comes to the Niners.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. Now, back to the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas, for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
Nothing better than a little ambrosia to get you ready for a big football weekend, right, Tony?
Ambrosia. Wow. Biggest part of me?
This is Yacht Rock Royalty. Sing it.
There's a new sun rising.
Adam's all confused.
I don't know what this is. I've never heard this before.
Oh, it's beautiful.
There's no chance I've heard this one.
Oh, come on. These guys have so many big hits.
What's the chorus?
I don't know if we get to it.
I
don't know if we loaded it all. We're going to have some different music on the show today. Later on, we're going to play some Eminem.
Well, it's not really different. That's what we usually do.
Here you go. Here it is.
There's no way I've heard this.
Here you go.
Wow.
I think it was the theme in the 1982 NCAA tournament.
Okay.
I think I one of my first recollections of the NCAA tournament, and Tony, you're a little bit older than me, but when Louisville was making a run, I think it was in 80, it was a Kenny Loggins song, because what they do is they'll pick one song and they play it out of every freaking break, in and out, and it was I don't even know the name of the Kenny Loggins song. This Is It? I don't know if that's the name of the
this
song.
This Is It. That's,
yep.
Yeah,
and they,
I've heard that song.
And they played that whole tournament. I'm like, I like sports. I like Kenny Loggins.
It's very fitting.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I haven't really changed much.
My very first theme song ever was the Monday Night Football theme way back.
Oh, yeah. The original.
The original.
It was awesome.
Yep.
Absolutely awesome. All right. Are you guys at 8 on the Niners?
We are, man.
What are you doing?
I know. Well, I couldn't help it. Well, we're at 7.5, all pretty, taking action both ways. And we had a casino VIP who's comes in once a year, and this is his time to come in. And he came down and laid the lumber, man. I mean, big lumber. And we were forced to go to 8. But here's the thing. We're sitting at 8, and they're laying it. They can walk 20 yards across the street. Minus 7, 7.5 all over town, and they still laying the 8, man. So.
Sweet. I will, I'll throw some bills down in a little bit. I'm all over the Niners.
Plus 8?
I'm checking that. I'm all over the Packers. Plus 8, yep.
Get the good number here.
All over the there Packers. By the way, we mentioned Ambrosia. They're playing tonight, 52 Fridays, in the showroom. Every Friday night, there's a great show, and Ambrosia is a regular here, and they're back in town tonight on this Friday at the Golden Nugget. So, what about the Chiefs and Titans?
Good two-way. Very good two-way. So, it's going back and forth, and we're sitting pretty right now at 7, so don't expect to come off of it unless something happens.
Were you guys at 7 all week?
We opened the game up at 7.5, went down to 7.
Because I know another spot opened 9.5, which was a tad high.
Wow.
7.5, I saw pop up pretty quickly after that.
Yeah.
But I actually thought it would be all Chiefs money. Did you expect all Chiefs on that number?
No, not really, because I know the Titans have all the teams. You know, they're the darling right now of the public, and that's the team everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl. I hope not. I hope it's Chiefs Niners.
What happens if they fall behind? What do they do?
Problem is, if they go ahead like the Texans did against the Chiefs won't catch them. Derrick Henry's too good.
And Chiefs can't come back either. It's going to be tough.
When you have a game like that, the Chiefs game last week, the Chiefs and the Texans, is that just a freaking nightmare in play?
Oh, that was so weird, you know. I mean,
I love playing it in play. I was like, I'm playing the Chiefs, of course. And then I had a good middle working, and then the freaking Texans, I actually was texting you about it. The Texans couldn't score a touchdown at the end. But those are scary situations, right, when you got this explosive offense fall behind, and then obviously the number changes, and people are going to keep betting the comeback.
And it was so fast. It was 24-0 before you blinked.
Yep.
And we're at Texans' house. You know, we got, you know, a lot of people up here from Houston. They were celebrating big. And all of a sudden, what happened? It changed. Yeah, it was craziness in that game.
Titans in the Super Bowl, from a handle standpoint, does it reduce the overall handle, like, statewide by 10%? 20%?
We start putting up props on Monday, and Aaron and I last week were talking about different props that we could put up with the scenarios. And the Chiefs and the Niners scenarios are just off the hook. They're so good. Kettle and Kelsey and, you know, there's just so many good ones. You throw the Titans mix in there, and it goes really kind of, what do you got, Tannehill now?
I knew you were going to say that.
You going to have a lot.
Tannehill.
Right? I mean, but just imagine. It really hurts the props, I think, and I think it definitely hurt the handle. I want to see Chiefs Niners.
So you could have that fun Will Tannehill throw for 100 yards prop.
Yeah,
that'd be a cool prop.
That'd be great, Adam. Thanks.
That'd be awesome. By the way, does Aaron now concede that he would lose to Ken Jennings after that Jeopardy?
This is Aaron Kessler, who works in the book as Tony's right-hand man, who wants to be on Jeopardy.
Oh, man. You know, Aaron still wants a piece of Mr. Holzhauer.
I know he wants Holzhauer, but Jennings beat Holzhauer in the Jeopardy GOAT tournament.
He was very happy about it, trust me.
Well, could Aaron beat Jennings?
Aaron thinks he can beat anybody, you know. So but Aaron's pretty smart, let me tell you. Don't doubt him. Don't doubt him.
Poor Brad Rutter couldn't even get off the ground.
Big man. He was terrible. He was a token third man. I don't know what that was all about.
Some news across the country that's interesting. I saw that Indiana is very much considering going with more exotics on the Super Bowl, that they're actually going to book the coin toss, possibly the color of the Gatorade. What do you think of that? And does that start a trend across the country where books all over the place are going to start playing some of these crazy global exotics?
Hey, Jersey's doing the Academy Awards now. It's just a matter of time. You know, they make so much more money back east than we do here as far as handle goes. Just a matter of times before things in Nevada start flipping around, we'd be able to book these things, Gatorade and Anthem.
Don't
and
ever
some.
Book the Gatorade. The Gatorade is too vague. You never know what color it actually is.
I know.
Don't ever do that.
About length of the anthem and all that kind of stuff.
Still too vague. Well. When does it start? When you start the first note? When you start the last note? When you stop with the end of the last note?
Okay, that now that said, he's got a business to run. He's got people to answer to. The slight headaches with props like that, is it worth it for the kind of money you're going to get? Like, are you going to get enough money on the national? I think you make a killing on the national anthem. I'm not saying you're going to win, But I think you get a lot of action on the anthem.
You know, I'm sure each book, once it's permitted, will have their own disclaimer. And my disclaimer here will have a specific, it starts on this note at this time. And, you know, we'll be very specific to it. So, but
low limits, too, on those?
Very low limits.
Because we saw last year, you know, you got that little dork, Darren Revelle, bragging that he, you know, he knew about. Was it, I can't remember. I always misstated. Did he know the anthem length or did he know the set? I think he knew something about the halftime
the set,
show.
Which, by the way,
and then he bragged that he had insider information, but he didn't give it out. And it's like, bro, come on, you're supposed to be the, you know, voice of the fans here, and you're withholding information.
By the way, once you start taking money from people for betting information, as he does, you do have that responsibility. Because do I get the set list every year? Yes, I do. I get it in advance. I know. I don't go make bets on it, but I also am not bragging that I have it. I'm not going and telling people like I knew before you did, but you can still pay me for picks.
Things are happening. I mean, the NFL draft this year, with that here in town in Vegas, you're going to see a lot of handle, a lot of money coming in, and things are starting to happen, and I think they're all going to be good things for us.
All right, let's talk about the property here at the Golden Nugget. So we got Chick-fil-A in the back. By the way, I don't know if you know this, the Asian place is gone. That's a joke. It's an inside joke. But the Grotto's going back there, right?
The Grotto's going back
okay.
there.
Okay, the Grotto's like, that is a unbelievably massive space.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what's going in, or is this like top secret?
There's signs all over, Saltgrass.
Okay. I love it. He's like, there's signs all over. Walk to the front of the property, moron.
It's all over the place.
Well, you could have presented it like, you know, drum roll. It's Saltgrass. Sure.
Saltgrass, yeah. Saltgrass steak.
I got the scoop.
It's going to be nice.
Okay.
Going to be good.
Sampled it yet?
Nah, not yet.
Okay.
But we do have one on our Laughlin property, so.
You do?
We do.
You know I'm down with the Laughlin property. I'm all over Laughlin.
How often do you go down there, Tony?
I try to go down once a month.
Okay.
Nice. Well, you know, we're Tony and I were working on some plans to get us down there, so we might have to do some live shows down there. I know you were fired up.
Oh, let's
up
do
this,
that. Yeah, for
right?
sure.
We never hooked up on that, but
we can do that.
We need to do a weekend or two in Laughlin. And,
yeah.
I'm waiting for us to do our live show in Fremont.
We can do it.
We did it at the club that one time. That was great.
Yeah.
It was away from the masses, though.
Let's get on the masses. Let's get out there Super Bowl weekend.
Ooh.
I'll work on it.
People are too crazy.
You scared at him?
A little.
A little.
maybe NCAA tournament.
Okay.
We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to
we
talk
do,
about.
Man.
This is stuff off the air.
Okay.
What else, Tony? What else we need to mention that's coming up?
Oh, man, you know, March Madness, the Grand Ballroom is going to be huge for us, that is, you know, and it's a great time. If you've never been down here for March Madness, especially those first 2 days, it's off the hook.
Super Bowl parties, are you doing your special VIP by invite only, or you got some other stuff happening?
This place here is a little Cadillac Cantina on Super Bowl Sunday.
Hey.
Insane.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but we got like four or five parties around the whole hotel, so.
All right.
Lots going on, man.
We'll get you guys, the listeners, the information.
Tony has to run. He's got to go change the number on the Giants to win the Super Bowl next year. With Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator, that just happened.
It did happen?
Yes.
Oh, man.
What is he doing? Show a little pride. Sit out a year and be a coach somewhere.
This is a bad 2 days for me between the Astros and the Cowboys, man. I'm
telling you. That's right. Man.
I got to get with Seidel. Is he in town now?
He is.
Yeah.
Hey, he actually came to town.
I need some support.
Talk about a big excuse maker. He's been all over the basically screw off about the cheating. Kiss the ring.
Yeah.
That's been his whole bit the whole time.
I wore my Astros World Series Champions T-shirt last night, and I got buried at the bar.
Yeah. I love it.
Did you wear a little sensor underneath it?
Evil Empire. I said that all along with the Astros. Now it finally came to fruition. Evil Empire.
Bang the trash can slowly.
All right, Tony.
Thanks,
appreciate
man.
It. There you go. Tony Miller, get down here to the book. These guys have some of the best numbers in town. And, you know, he talked about right now you have a chance, if you're a Packers bettor, you have a chance to get eight at the Golden Nugget Sportsbook.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
This report is brought to you by Paul Pata Law. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
So we got the AFC and NFC championships coming up this weekend. NFL news just came down, pretty interesting, that the Giants O coordinator will be former Cowboys coach Jason Garrett. Adam and I were talking during the break. Like, if that's a good move for Jason Garrett, we'll start out with a sports topic here before we get a little deep divey on the gambling stuff with RJ Bell. I don't know, RJ, instant reaction. Do you think that's a good move by Jason Garrett from a career standpoint to take the O coordinator job with the Giants?
As opposed to what?
Stay out of work. And we just saw what happened with Mike McCarthy. It's like, you go away and there's a hunger for a coach the next offseason and everyone's all fired up about what you did. I actually think there's enough downside with the Giants and Daniel Jones that if it doesn't work, he actually could hurt his career.
So you're saying if somehow, some way, And not that it's somehow, some way, it's very possible the Giants are really bad on offense. Jason Garrett gets a stink for that.
He could get the blame for it, which would be absurd, because right now Daniel Jones is very much a, you know, a 50-50 proposition.
My thought is that when you're the type, I always chastise Colin about this, is I say you are nothing like Tom Brady. So you can talk about what you would do Giselle and negotiate moving to Indianapolis or whatever he was, you know, hypothetically considering. And it's like Tom Brady's a different breed, right?
Yeah.
So Jason Garrett played in the NFL. You know, this was a guy, we always think of him as, oh, he was, you know, he played like in high school and lettered his senior year or something. No, he was an NFL quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And it's the kind of guy that not only was good enough to be a quarterback in the NFL, he went, I don't know if you heard, he graduated from the Ivy Leagues.
Sure.
Right? So,
very worried about that
one. Very aware of himself.
Very aware of the Garretts from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And brother Judd, who
so
played
for Princeton.
The fact
of the matter is, here's a guy that if he, imagine him thinking to himself, you know something, I might really tank and play, not tank, but do so poorly at this next job, I won't get my next one. I don't think guys like that even think like that.
I am not comparing myself and radio to Jason Garrett, but I'm going to admit I'm also a hypocrite because I like to work. So, like, I had a short time. I was out of radio, and I was like, I'm going to go sell cars. I just want to work. So, hey, if Jason Garrett wants to work, doesn't want to be out of work, go ahead, work.
And he's got that optimism, right? Yeah. I think who really loses here is Dallas.
How so?
Because how bad does it look if you've got a coach that you held on to like it was some asset, you know, and the, you know, fame now, Jerry Jones, the minute if we fire Jason Garrett, they're going to be lined up to hire him, and they were lined up to hire him as an offensive coordinator. It makes you look kind of second tier.
RJ Bell's with us, straight out of Vegas, nationally, 5 days a week on Fox Sports Radio. All right, well, let's get into these championship games. First of all, where are you going with the Packers and the Niners? It was a freaking blowout the first time they played. I'm taking the Packers plus the points.
Okay, Steve, text me after. We can go no vig on this one.
Uh-oh.
I like San Francisco here. And it's all about fading Green Bay. Is Green Bay, to me, was the second most overrated team in the NFL. Seattle was number one, and somebody had to win, and that set us up to bet against them here. Green Bay was outgained on the season. And what does that mean? Yeah, means what it sounds like. The opponents had more yards than they had. How good can you be? Over the course of 16 games, a good team does not get outgained. By the way, last time a Super Bowl participant, a team that even made the big game, was outgained was 2001. So it was the first Brady Belichick team. So that was a team that wasn't a great team. They had a great game, obviously, against the Rams. Hasn't happened in nearly 20 seasons. Why would it happen now? 0-6 straight up in the championship game. Teams that were outgained, 1-5 against the spread. That's Cofield. I'm on the other side.
Yeah, this is incredibly square, and much of it's on Aaron Rodgers. And we're actually going to play audio next hour from Colin Cowherd, who was just crushing Aaron Rodgers and saying he's just not the same Aaron Rodgers and probably can't win this game.
You know what's fascinating?
Yeah.
I want you guys, remember, I record my podcast with Colin at 8 in the morning on Fridays. So we spent about half the pod me breaking down how bad Aaron Rodgers is today.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, that's his rant today, huh? Uh-huh.
Is Aaron Rodgers bad, or is the offense not really asking him to do what he used to do?
Well, I think, Adam, you're smart enough to know that if you're a game manager, if you're not being asked to do more, it might hurt your counting stats, but it improves your efficiency stats. Something like QBR, which is the most advanced analytic there is, index-wise. If you say one number to assess quarterback, there's no number that's even close to as good as QBR. That's just a fact that I'm aware of. Maybe there's some secret number. So, would you agree with the following? If you said same quarterback, he's going to have to throw 35, 40 times a game in scenario A, or scenario B, he's a game manager that gets to throw from ahead, a lot of play action, not a lot of third and 12 throws, wouldn't you say that efficiency improves the less you have to throw, the more running game you have?
Sure, but it's a first year in a system, the system that changed a whole lot. I look at it as, yes, I agree with you on all the stats, all the metrics say he has not had the same season, he has declined, but you look at things like third and nine at the end of the game and he throws an unbelievably perfect pass to Davante Adams last week. I don't know, you know, head-to-head against Jimmy Garoppolo, I'm taking that. I know the game is much bigger than the quarterback matchup, but you still see those flashes when they need a throw, he gets it. I just think the offense isn't really where he wants it to be right now, and they're kind of having a hard time getting on that same page, though.
Here's my question. How often does a Fitzpatrick – let's say we're talking about, though, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a bad quarterback. So let me be clear. How bad he is relative to consensus, to mainstream thought. I think mainstream thought is Aaron Rodgers is the third, fourth, fifth best quarterback. I believe he's the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th best, somewhere in that range. So that's the distance I'm talking about. So let's look at who's 11, 12, 13, 14. It's going to be a Kirk Cousins. It's going to be a Jimmy G. I think that's the range we're talking about. How often does Kirk Cousins make a great throw? A lot. But when he does it, it's like, let's see what happens the next great throw. But when Aaron Rodgers, that's needed. But when Aaron Rodgers does it, it's like, see, that's our guy. That's who we love. I just think that he's sticking your mind more because he's Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if he's making more of those throws. If he is, how was he like QBR 24th in the league this year?
RJ Bell is with us at RJ in Vegas. Chiefs, Titans. Titans in the unique position of being, as you say here on Twitter, only the third team last 20 years to play a fourth straight road game. That actually has not been a bad deal in the other two cases, right?
Well, no. So just to be clear here, I broke it down not only four straight, but also that they had the last three of the four are playoff games.
Right.
So there's a weird thing with the Bengals. I'm going to have to figure out how this happened. I think it was 1991. The Bengals actually had five straight road games. There must have been something with the stadium or something, and it's kind of skewing stats. But if you look where the playoffs are the final three, which to me are obviously more high-intensity games, there's only been two since the turn of the century, and to me they're 0-2 straight up and 0-2 against the spread.
All right, where are we going with this game? We got Chiefs, yeah. 7, total 53.
I like Kansas City here, and this is going to surprise some people. Is Fezzik in his power ratings has Kansas City as the best team at this point in the season of any team in the last 5 years.
Wow.
So forget the other four Super Bowl champions. Forget this is the best team. I tend to agree with them, and here's why. How good's Kansas City's offense? Number one? Does that sound right?
Sure, yeah.
All right.
When they're right, they're number one.
But I think net, they're probably number one.
Right.
Their defense, since the bye, is number eight DVOA. Now, you might say, why does the bye matter? Why? Because they changed coordinators. And as Adam just said very astutely, you change a coordinator, you change a scheme, it is to your disadvantage earlier in the year. Now, you might say, well, what about Aaron Rodgers? He actually was worse in the second half of the year, but okay, we won't get too deep into that. But the fact of the matter is Kansas City is following the classic path of starting slow, disappointing because everyone's excited about the new coordinator, and then at a certain point they get to neutral, and then right when they're underrated, everyone's kind of peeved at him. They lost enough money at him, they become underrated because their trend line keeps going up. And to me, Kansas City with the new coordinator, the second half of the year is more pertinent, and it's a mighty good defense. If they are the eighth best defense and the first best offense, they are an all-time quality team because you don't often get a team that has a number one and a number eight on two sides of the ball.
Last one, RJ, on the fight with McGregor. Did you get any sharps who want the Cerrone action?
Well, I got the sharp Steve Cofield on Straight Out of Vegas telling us, look for a knockout from McGregor, handpicked opponent. I kind of like that analysis, so I'm going to stick with that. I know there's gut instinct to say, yeah, McGregor's going to get too much public action, but there's too much money at stake here for them to put him in a losing situation or for him to accept a losing situation. So I like your pick on that. If you don't mind, Steve, and I'm saying little with a smile that I made, I'd like to get you guys' quick thoughts on. What do you think the AFC-NFC generic line, you know, you're betting the leagues right now, no matter who makes it, what do you think the Super Bowl line should be?
Wait, AFC-NFC you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you got to factor the Titans
in.
I'm
going to say, what? Oh, yeah.
Just in case.
I would say Chiefs 3.5 or AFC 3.5.
So you're saying the Chiefs, well, remember now, the AFC could be the Chiefs,
right.
Could be Tennessee,
AFC
and the
NFC
San Francisco, or it could be obviously Green Bay.
I think I saw a pick today, but I'm going to say AFC 3.5.
So you like AFC a good bet?
Yeah.
I do too. We actually bet the AFC a pick. We put me and Fez and Brad, I liked it the most. They threw some money in. We put $5,000 on the AFC a pick 'em. I think it should be about 2.5. And amazingly, Kansas City, we've got as a 3-point favorite over San Fran. That won't be what the line is. It's what we think the line should be. And we actually have Tennessee favored over Green Bay. So no one thinks that's the case.
Wow.
So we figured this was the perfect storm to do a little AFC action. I actually tweeted out the ticket at RJ in Vegas. But I love it.
All right, we might have to jump on that one.
Well, you know, Steve, you were smart, but, I mean, I've known you for 10 years. I don't think you followed a pick of mine in 10 years.
I'm an idiot.
You bet against me. Yeah. You know, it's funny, when you worked with us for a year,
Yep. Every
Friday and Saturday night on the Fox National show, on the weekends, you bet more against Fezzik than you bet with him.
I did. I'm a moron. I'd watch games and I'd be like, why didn't I just follow Fezzik? He's winning. And I'm like, it's that easy. They're telling you.
But that's why you're Steve Cofield.
That's why I'm in the square chair. All right,
RJ. I was thinking about it. I know we got to run, but I was thinking about it. You know who you remind me of? Is Don Rickles.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Remember, I've been watching a lot of Don Rickles on YouTube.
Yeah.
And Johnny Carson used to always announce him as Mr. like Good Cheer or something.
Sure.
And you used to be Mr. Sunshine, right?
Mr. Warmth.
Very, very, very yes. Sarcastic name, Mr. Sunshine, yes.
Exactly, and it was Mr. Warmth. You said it, Adam. Thank you. And it's almost like you were doing a Rickles and you didn't even know it.
I'm a very poor man's Rickles, literally poor.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. There you go, RJ Bell. At RJ in Vegas on Twitter and on 5 days a week, and straight into Vegas on Fox Sports National, which plays over on 920 The Game at 3 o'clock. All right, we got some crazy news in on this. I'll call it a battle. It's a battle now between UNLV and the Raiders with the stadium. What the hell is happening? We introed this story, whatever it was, about 6 weeks ago, and now it looks like it's a reality. UNLV is not going to be able to play all of its football games this coming season at that new stadium. My God.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.